Down the lake, deep in the woods, birds cry out and stars shine down. This week, as we head back into the land of kaiju comedy, with director Minoru Kawasaki's take on perhaps one of the most forgotten of all the Showa Godzilla knockoffs. Will this humorous look at the world's superpowers trying to defeat a giant monster work out well? Only time will tell. This is Kaiju vs. History. Monster X Strikes Back. Attack the G8 Summit.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is your giant alien throwback kaiju to a movie you probably don't remember, Patrick. And joining me is a harsh stereotype of a European diplomat. Mamma mia, it's Miles.
Man, the Italian stuff had me rolling. Like a lot of the comedy in this movie does not land for me at all. Oh. That stuff was so funny.
there is a lot of very bad humor in this movie, but there's some stuff that tickles me so much.
Yeah, there is absolutely stuff that lands. Unfortunately, more often than not, it doesn't. But yeah, everything out of that guy's mouth was Mamma Mia or something about a pizza.
It was, his name is like Paisano, which is pizza, you know. We're back. We're back for another basically independently made kaiju movie. We talked about Rego last week. This one is Monster X Strikes Back, Attack the G8 Summit. Came out July 5th, 2008. We're almost recording this on July 5th. It's like just past an anniversary, right, Miles? Is that 16 years since this movie came out? And it was co-written and directed by Minoru Kawasaki, who we haven't talked about a lot on this podcast. This is his first of a few kaiju movies that we're going to look at. But he is a comedic kind of writer and director who, before this, and I feel like you'd probably like this, made a movie called The World Sinks Except Japan.
The World Sinks Except Japan, is a parody of Japan Sinks. He's got a lot of interesting stuff, like some stuff that like we didn't cover just because like it's technically not a kaiju, like a calamari wrestler.
Yeah, it falls into the not daikaiju, but kaiju.
Yeah.
He has some hilarious titles under his belt.
You want to read the one from 2008, buddy? but we do have a couple kaiju movies coming from him after this.
I don't think we're allowed to. But I was going to talk about Rug Cop, which is about a police officer who has like a sentient toupee that fights with him. It's like a ton of movies that I really want to see eventually. But we don't have. Yeah, and
we have a few that we are going to get to, which I am excited about because they're kind of wild. This was the first movie I had seen by him.
I think because I feel like I had seen this on your Amazon Primes from just like it being on there at one point or being on YouTube.
Yes.
I was like, oh, this is available. Let me sneak a peek. And I was just blown away by what I saw. I was like, what? What are we watching here? I was very excited to get to this. And then since then, through SRS, I believe, I bought one of his other kaiju movies, which is Monster Seafood Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It's very fun, very Japanese movie. This one kind of takes a bent at being a little international. You know, there's there's people from all nations of the world in this movie, Miles. Do you want to talk about the title and get into it?
Yeah. Well, do you want to tell us what's in the title?
I mean, there's not a ton. Monster X Strikes Back is, of course, a throwback to, it's also kind of a throwback to Final Wars because there's a Monster X in that movie as well. But the X from Outer Space is the 1968 movie? I forget.
It is.
I had it in my notes. Let's take a time travel back to when we watched that movie, which I think you really did not enjoy that much.
Yeah, it tracks.
Oh gosh.
I'm looking at our
yeah. prior. The X from Outer Space. No, we both gave it about the same score. We gave that movie a 6 out of 10, which yeah, it tracks. I wanted it to be a little better than what it was, but it really just kind of flew under the radar in a decade where you've got the introduction of Gamera, you've got some of the best Godzilla movies, and you've got so many knockoffs right around there. It's followed by Gappa the Triphibian Monster, Yongari Monster of the Deep, like a ton of knockoff Godzillas. And despite being a very kind of original looking, weird looking kaiju, it just never really triggered. Galila was the name that they gave it in the film. Monterey Strike Back, Attack the G8 Summit, kind of two titles in one if you don't know what to name your movie. Also kind of comedic in its own right. The Japanese title of the film translates out to Galila's Counterattack, the Toyaku Summit Attack Crisis, or Lake Toya Summit Crisis. And that is maybe a little harder to understand for taking this movie to other parts of the country. Attack the G8 Summit is pretty funny and is very accurate about what goes on in this movie, because it is about a kaiju attacking during the G8 summit, which in 2008 did take place in Japan. Miles, it took mm-hmm. place in Toyaku down in Hokkaido, Japan, only a few days after this movie came out. This movie came out July 5th and the summit was July 7th through the 9th, which is almost makes this movie funnier. When you find out that like all the people that went there, including like George Bush, right? George W, I guess, would have.
I think so.
This is the 34th G8 summit, and I think it's only a couple years after they invited Russia to the summits. I think it was like G7 before then. I don't really remember, or group of seven.
Yeah, and then they, I think, expelled Russia not too long afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, Russia can play nice. But yeah, there's a number of real world kind of folks that are represented in the cast that they're lampooning in this that were in Japan at the time this movie maybe had posters up and stuff around, which is kind of funny to think about explaining. It's like, oh yeah, they made a kaiju movie about the summit that you're at right now, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it is a fun little, like, you know, a attempt at being irreverent and topical at the same time, and kind of taking the piss out of everyone in there, including Japan.
Yes, I feel like Japan is the harshest to itself, because I mean, they try to lampoon Putin in the movie and I think make a nicer version than the real right. life one, which is kind of funny. And then some of them are kind of just general stereotypes. John Heese plays the U.S. president, whose name on Wikipedia is Earth Burger.
Yeah.
On IMDb and in Wikipedia, Earth Burger Miles is his name.
And I think he actually has held like political office in Japan.
Oh, the actor?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of hilarious. But he's not really like a good representation. He's just kind of like a dumb American. And both he and the UK leader and the Canadian leader all have like Canadian accents more than I think US accents. But I feel like the actors and the writing for Nicolas Sarkozy of France, Angela Merkel of Germany, those are all pretty good. And I imagine their prime minister, they were able to skewer very well as well. I don't know much about Yasuo Fukuda, who was prime minister at the time, but I think they probably did a good job of.
It certainly takes the tone that basically all of the leaders of the most powerful nations in the world are kind of idiots, which, hey, yeah, That tracks. Yeah.
And then Italy just has like a Italian stereotype. The character's name is Pisano Pietro, Prime Minister Pisano Pietro. They have some wacky names.
And like believe like the ancient Romans will lead them to victory.
Yeah. Yeah. If you are on the battlefield with your men, obviously they're going to have victory because they have the soul of the, you know, people and Senate of Rome. There is a ninth world leader that we get later in the film who announces himself secretly, which is listed in the casting as Northern Dictator, who's I guess would be Kim Jong-un at this point, right?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, I think he's no.
Kim Jong-il was still alive. He died in 2011.
That's Kim Jong-il.
Kim
Jong-un only took power in 2012, so it would have been Kim Jong-il. The representation of Kim Jong-il is definitely gives me some Trey Parker, Matt Stone, World Police.
Yeah, well, Team America, World Police.
Yeah.
I mean, it's difficult to do a movie like this and not think of that kind of comedy or South Park or something like that. I mean, the humor in this is certainly trying to reach that. I feel like anytime it's doing the international stuff is when the movie's at its best. And for me, that's the only time it's funny.
Yeah, well, the other story that we have in this film is about two reporters from like the Tokyo sports desk, which I think is
yes.
a pretty good joke in its own right. And about them kind of covering the summit, but they get waylaid when they find a shrine kind of deep in the Hokkaido forest that is summoning Takemajin, a like an ancient kind of spirit.
Which also delivers the best joke in the movie.
Some great jokes, but this movie has some absolutely elite kaiju royalty in it, Miles, because first of all, one of the Japanese officers is Officer Takamine, is played by Ben Furuya, who is Ultraman.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even recognize him as the movie was going on. But Galilah, the kaiju, the Monster X in the film, is pseudonymated by Hurricane Ryu, who is, you know, played Godzilla in a few films. It was King Ghidorah in a bunch of films and would go on to be in multiple films from this director, from the director of this film.
He was in Super Sentai. He's in Dennis. Yeah, he is going to be, I think I've mentioned this before because he's been in movies that we talk about. I am going to get to meet him in November.
I'm pretty jealous. Yeah, he's been working with Dennis. Is also a kaiju series. It is kind of like the whatchamacallit, the ongoing series by Minoru Kawasaki, who it's a lot of shorts, and I think they did one feature length film, but it shows up in a lot of his movies, which is kind of fun, and apparently including The World Sinks Except Japan, which I had missed. I don't think he's kaiju size, but he shows up at the end of Earth Defense Widow, which is a movie that I would love to do on the show, but I don't think we're going to have a translation for it. It's one of the few that really didn't make it overseas. But besides that, we also have playing Takemajin in this film, Takeshi Kitano, which is like,
love him so much. Legit one of my favorite Japanese actors and filmmakers. And it honestly does not surprise me that he's in this movie.
I feel like they also kind of made Takemajin's face to look like him, even though it's like it's completely covered, you know?
Oh, no. But yeah, it's 100% supposed to be like a Daimajin, but of Beat Takeshi. And it's his kind of humor because, you know, it's so interesting because, you know, Western audiences, not just America, but like, you know, the film world really know Takeshi Kitano's work starting when he started to do Yakuza films. And, you know, he did like stuff like Violent Cop in the late 80s, but really in the early to mid 90s when he did Hanabi and Sonatine and stuff like that, even into the 2000s when he did the Outraged films, that's where we kind of know him most. He also was in the Johnny Mnemonic.
Yep.
And
classic scene.
He's great in it. But what people don't always realize, unless, you know, you have a little bit of background or at least looked up what was it, MXC came from. But mm-hmm. he used to be a well-known comedian in Japan in the 80s and had a long-running show called Takeshi's Castle, which is so much fun. So much fun. Actually, oh, yeah. Just recently had an Amazon return.
Yeah, which surprised the heck out of me. But
so for him to like do something like this goofy type of comedy again, yeah, makes perfect sense.
The base formation of a lot of the actors in this film, I think, were from a comedy troupe in Japan.
It feels like it. I mean, it definitely feels like a group of people that have worked together and kind of come together under Kawasaki.
I don't know why I can't find this in my notes now, but the movie was produced and funded by a special fund known as the Galilah 2008 Production Committee. So I think the rights owners, Shochiku Company, whatever vestiges of that company that still existed were, you know, investors, as well as like a ton of other smaller film production companies and things like that. Because this movie actually feels like it's fairly expensive, you know, like you've got some Pseudimators, you've got some Pseudimation, and it looks almost exactly like the suit that they use in the 1967 movie. But
it does
guarantee, you know, 40 odd years later, that thing is completely destroyed. It's not saved anywhere.
But no, 100%.
They got suit creator from Gamer 3, from GMK, Fuyuki Shinada, to recreate the monster. And I could barely tell, but they did reuse footage from the original movie in places. But the suit looks so similar. There are scenes I can't really tell the difference. The kind of ear stalks or the antennae, I think, are a little bit different from the old suit. Like, one, they're a little straighter. It's like, I feel like that's the only way I can tell the difference, because some of the footage looks pretty well. Like, it holds up the tokusatsu footage from the 1967 movie.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's a couple of small touches that were added, but yeah, Hurricane Ryu as the suit actor in this does a pretty great job. And the final battle is hilarious. And also they don't have like a big set, unfortunately, for the action in this movie, but mm-hmm. I think they make the most out of what they had. What do you think about the suits, Miles? You also get kind of like a Daimajin in Takemajin. And
yeah,
in
I mean, I thought Takemajin was super, super fun. I like both the suits. I mean, it's, you know, I was just talking last week how I miss guys in suits, and
didn't have to wait very long.
No, and honestly, like, any criticism that I had about the original suit, like, still stand, but like, it's still kind of a fun, goofy design. And I love Takemajin. That joke was what landed the best for me in this entire movie.
Oh my god, the North Korean rocket going up its butt as soon as it arrives.
So funny. I also love, like, there's some I see you made a note of this as well, but like, one of the notes I took was like, you have some guy like complaining about Gilala. I wish it was Varen or Baragon instead, but you know, and I was like, Yeah, this, I do too.
This movie is absolutely trying to talk about all the like worst kaiju that could possibly come back. I think in a world where Young Gary got like a terrible sequel, I feel like X from Outer Space deserved one as well.
I mean, deserve is a strong word, Patrick.
gets one. Yeah. I think the comedic actors do a pretty good job in this movie. Our main two reporters, they do have some funny lines. Their story just seems like a completely different movie than the G8 summit stuff. Like they feel like they're in their own, you know, Imogen kind of sequel, which doesn't have as much slapstick and kind of off the wall comedy as the G8 summit. My favorite recurring gag in the G8 summit is every time they have a new plan from a new world leader, some member of the Japanese army, like, runs up to the door and posts a new sign. And it's like the same urgency every time, even though, like, you know, this is like days later that some of these plans are coming to fruition. Do you have a favorite moment, a favorite scene in this movie, Miles?
I mean, obviously the reveal of Takeshi Majin is okay. I mean, other than that,
a lot of buildup to finally getting to see it. It's really just like a statue for most of the movie.
Yeah. And like, honestly, that whole story just feels like it takes forever to pay off. And
we get to hear that summoning song a lot.
It's weird because I'll bring up stuff. I'm like, yes, there are pieces of this movie that I really enjoy. But for most of it, I'm kind of groaning because for me, a lot of the time, the humor doesn't work as well. Like, it reminds me of like the era after Airplane and the Naked Gun became massive hits. And they just kept putting Leslie Nielsen in these movies where he plays a buffoon, but it doesn't have the smart writing of the Naked Gun or Airplane.
Dead and loving it.
You will not besmirch the Mel Brooks classic. You know I love that movie.
It's fun. But, it's fun.
But that's the kind of vibe I get from it. Because there's a lot of humor here that just doesn't work for me. I just think it doesn't land, or it's absolutely just not funny.
But that,
and it sucks because, like, I love everything about this effort. I love it being a reverent, independently made kaiju film that's also a sequel to a movie that no one cares about.
There
is something like just deep cut and loving it kind of vibe to it that I know he was going for, and he 100% nails. Like,
yeah,
this is someone who is not necessarily just making fun of kaiju. They're just having fun with like the left, the like misfit toys of kaiju.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, going back a few weeks now to like Big Man Japan, that felt like its own thing that was just kind of using kaiju. This feels like there's a lot of love for the original film and other kaiju movies in it. We get a ton of scenes that are direct callbacks, including the reason why they can't use atomic warfare on the creature. I think it was the same in the first movie because it would explode into spores that would kind of cover the earth.
Yeah, they said there'd be like a billion more of this creature.
But my absolute favorite scene in this movie is a callback to to a lot of Showa era films, but definitely the X from Outer Space, where the kid with the giant lollipop all of a sudden shows up in the G8 war room and is like, we shouldn't call it Monster X. We should give it a name. How about we call it Monster Galilah? And then everyone's like, what are you doing here? And they drag the Secret Service.
They drag him out and then they start calling it.
It's like, all right, fine, we'll call Kala. But that happens in the first movie, right? Am I making this up? It happens in a couple of Gamera movies where there's just like a kid in the war room. And he's like, how about we call the monster Gauss?
Yeah.
Oh, God. That killed me. That scene was, like I said, there's a couple of laugh out loud, hilarious moments. And then like everything with Sarkozy trying to bed the but they're North Koreans.
One of the North Korean agents like falls in love with him.
Oh my gosh, yeah, and he has to save the day in his towel. That almost all of the G8 summit actors just did not work for me. Honestly, the funniest part was how bad some of the English speaking actors were.
It was almost like, even though they were clearly English speakers, it was almost like it was their second language.
it gave me vibes from the American actors in the Yongeri film, but also the George Bush equivalent gave me a ton of energy of the dad from Troll 2. It was just like, he's trying so hard, but it's just so bad. Yeah, this movie's got a 5.2 out of 10 on IMDb. I did not even look it up on Letterboxd, but I imagine it's kind of right down the middle there as well. Are you ready to talk about our own scores for this movie, Mops? What's your personal enjoyment at? Yeah.
My personal enjoyment's actually kind of low. While I got some good chuckles out of this movie, and like Rego, I certainly appreciate the effort, a lot of this movie is a slog for me because, you know, as a comedy movie, if I'm not laughing for a good chunk of the time, it's kind of failing. Despite the fact that I thought the the kaiju battle was, you know, pretty amusing. Yeah, this is kind of a slog to get through, and the kami not landing makes it feel longer than it really is. And so for me, I gotta go with a 5. Like very mixed for me. Like, I mean, when it works, it works, but there's a lot of this movie that just does not work for me at all.
It has a 3.1 on Letterboxd, and the original X from Outer Space has a 2.8 there. So, all right. So you're at a 5. I'm at an 8. I had a great time.
Oh, wow.
I loved it. I feel like I know the other kaiju kind of parody films that this director is going to have in store from us, and I think this one's probably the best. It's like the best put together and has the most kind of like laugh out loud moments, and also I just love the Suitimation. So this is one I feel like I can go back to, even though it is a movie that they knew when they put it out was going to be extremely dated, because it is about an event happening the week the movie comes out, you know. But yeah, I think I thought I had watched this movie before, but maybe I'd only seen clips. Watching it back to back, it's a much more enjoyable experience than a lot of the kind of independent or kaiju movies we've seen recently. And very, very fun and engaging coming off of Rego last week, especially, which while I enjoyed, was it took me a long time to get through the 80 minutes of that film. For its technical aspects, I think this is a great choice for a kaiju for this movie, because it's both weird and goofy, the entire kind of feel of the film, and it has a 60s vibe, and this monster embodies all three of those kind of stylistic choices. Seeing an updated version of it here in this movie is just honestly really impressive that they got it so kind of close. I kind of wish they had just made up a new suit, because this is like a different version of that monster.
Yeah.
That being said, I love Talking Majin. I think it's very cool look. It is something I didn't expect. I honestly didn't, like I said, if I had seen this movie, I didn't remember Talking Majin like at all. The acting is pretty rough, but it's bad in a good way when it is bad. And then it's good in a lot of the other kind of comedic actors in this film. Yeah. So I feel like the script was funny. It made sense while dated. I feel like this is much more focused on the Japanese audience, and I probably would have been like, you know, closer to a 10 for them. I'm at an 8 for its technical aspects. It's so nice to see live action guys in suits in great looking suits doing some fun choreography and things like that. It gives me warm, fuzzy feelings. This is the parody movie that I've wanted for a while for kaiju. But what about you, Miles, for your technical aspect?
Well, like I said before, I have problems with the script, because for much of this comedy movie, I don't find it very funny. And I think that's more just a problem with the script more than anything else, because, you know, I've seen my fair share of Japanese comedies. You know, it's not anything other than like, I just didn't think this movie that was very funny. And I'm kind of hoping his future movies get better.
Oh no, Miles. Aw. Oh no.
I got a lot of hopes for the seafood one.
Yeah. Looking at Superman and Kaiju Mono. From the same director.
Yeah, so
we'll have a couple of chances.
I certainly like the cut of his jib. I think the actors are fine for what they're doing. You know, obviously they're being pastiches and being goofy. And I think with better material, it would have worked. There's certainly some good stuff. Like, I love the Italian pastiche. The Russian guy is just, and the Canadian German thing just didn't really land for me. And yeah, some of the acting's hammy in not a good way. So like it. This one was tough for me. So it's hard for me to judge a script more kindly when it's supposed to be a comedy and I didn't find it very funny. So it's getting a 5.
Oh no, Miles. Oh no. What about its importance kind of as a kaiju film?
Well, there? Like last week, I think it deserves a lot of respect for being an independent kaiju venture made with, you know, pure love and knowledge. Like, I mean, that's evident. There are so many fun references in this movie.
Going through the credits and watching, like, there's like behind the scene pictures of the actors. They seem to be having a great time on set as well.
I believe it. It's why it bums me out, because I wish this movie was better to me, because there's so much about it that works. And I think its place in kaiju history is interesting, because unlike last week's movie where I'm like, yeah, you could skip it, you know, unless you're a hardcore person, I would actually probably suggest people watch this one. And I'm actually giving it a 7 out of 10. I think it's a pretty solid entry. I think this kind of film we need more of. I'm glad this kind of spurs him to do more kaiju stuff in the future. And even though I didn't personally like this entry that much, I do respect the hustle. And, you know, I think the project itself is very cool.
Oh, right. I'm with you. I feel like this is probably one of the better kaiju parody films out of Japan. There's a couple that we've not seen yet. They just keep coming. So, I mean, I won't say it's the best of all time, but at this point, I'm blown away still. I think this, though, is more of a parody of the G8 and that event in Japan's history than it is a kaiju kind of movie. So I got to dock at some points there. Like, I feel like they do a good job of making fun of what is happening that week. I just love that this movie came out the week that the summit was happening. But all the kaiju stuff we get is pretty, I feel like, secondary in the movie. But like I said, if Young Gary can get a second terrible film, this one deserves a chance. And I honestly do like Galila in it. It does work great as kind of a parody monster, because it's so ridiculous looking to begin with. So I'm right there with you. I'm giving it a 7 out of 10, which is a pretty big gulf between us. You're at a 6 and I'm at basically an 8 out of 10, and we'll bring our podcast final horse down to a 7, right there in the middle, Miles. And I feel like that's pretty accurate to where I feel like this film should be. Just for a reminder's sake, 7 out of 10 is what our final score for Big Man Japan was. So another kind of parody-esque film. I feel like it's in pretty good company there. And we gave Dragon Wars a 6 out of 10, which I did enjoy this more than Wars for sure, but they're pretty close. They're pretty close. Right. So 7 out of 10, where can folks reach us, Miles, if they want to talk Galila? They want to talk Monster X.
You can't. No, you can't. I won't allow it. This is the end of my talk about Galila.
Well, what if they want to talk about what's coming down the pipe?
Well, if you want to reach out to us, you can email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. You can tweet to us at Kaiju vs. History. Visit our website, kaijuversushistory.com. Please rate and review our show. Comment, share with your friends. Let us know what you think. Check our Letterboxd account to see all the reviews and watch our list of films. And then go on over to CosmicCrit.com, click on that Cosmic Crit Discord, and join the Kaiju vs. History channel there, where you can talk to me, Patrick, and a lot of other folks in real time, talking about monsters, mostly talking about Godzilla, because there's a whole lot of Godzilla news out more and more each day. Lots of love for all things kaiju, as well as tokusatsu, which gets split up amongst many channels there. Patrick, what are we doing next week?
Thank you, Miles. Thank you, everyone listening. We're going to catch everyone next time when we take a look at a adaptation of a manga period piece set very firmly in the Showa era with a made-up monster and kind of a slice of Japanese life in the 1970s with a coming-of-age story and one giant kaiju at its center. That's right. Tune in next time for History versus Demaking, the Sea Monster.